Hello and welcome to episode 561 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, and it is, of course, time for the weekly show you cannot live without, Market Monday. Yes, that's right. Each Monday, I go over the biggest risers and fallers in ADP, aka average draft position, from the previous 7 days, and discuss whether I'm buying or selling these players at their new prices. The idea is to get you up to speed very quickly on what's happening in the best ball market. If you're the kind of person listening to a Market Monday podcast in May, well, you are my kind of fantasy player, a true grinder. And knowing that, I genuinely think you would get value out of our Draft Kit Pro. It's $49.99, covers everything we do all spring slash summer on best ball, dynasty, redraft. Head to establishtherun.com and hit the subscribe tab for more details. All right, let's begin with the biggest risers from the last 7 days. Nick Chubb is up 1.3 spots to 20.4 overall on Underdog. And 1.3 spots may not sound like a lot, and it's not in a lot of spots in the draft, but at the top, it is a lot because there's so much opportunity cost at these spots. We cover Nick Chubb a bit on the show already in the context of awards. You can go back and listen to that. I got that 45-1 on him to be Offensive Player of the Year. But from a fantasy perspective, I'm just not sure the market has their heads all the way around the setup that Nick Chubb has for 2023. We can make a case that Nick Chubb is the most efficient running back ever, like ever in the history of the NFL, Super Bowl era. You know, yards per carry leaders at running back, Jamaal Charles is first at 5.4. Nick Chubb is second at 5.2. Jim Brown, by the way, rest in peace, 5.2. as well. Nick Chubb also has 48 rushing touchdowns on 1,210 career carries, around a 4% touchdown rate. That's really, really elite. Now, Nick Chubb in his career so far has been blocked a bit from truly massive workloads. Prior to last season, he only averaged 15.6 carries per game in his first 4 years. Last year, his fifth NFL season, the Browns started to phase out Kareem Hunt a bit. Nick Chubb got up to 17.7 carries per game. Now Kareem Hunt is gone. You know, he's on the street as a free agent. Nick Chubb's backups are Jerome Ford, who's a 2022 fifth rounder, mostly played special teams last year, Dimitri Felton, who's played a ton of wide receiver in his two NFL seasons, and then John Kelly, who's barely played in four NFL seasons. And Browns have a very good offensive line, very good offensive talent. Run scheme has been effective for a long time. Assuming Deshaun Watson returns to the form he showed in Houston, which I'm optimistic that he will, this team is going to string together a lot of first downs, a lot of touchdowns. And I think they're going to be a pretty good team. So in this setup, with Nick Chubb, a clear path to 18, 19, 20 carries per game, perhaps more of a pass down role, good team environment for touchdowns, I think Nick Chubb is an absolute smash in round two in half PPR Underdog. You know, he's definitely worse on full PPR with bonus DraftKings, but the Underdog format is just the exact kind that rewards players like Chubb. So much of your overall scoring is tied to touchdowns and simple yards gained. Second riser I want to talk about is Antonio Gibson. He's up 8 spots into the middle of the 11th round on both DraftKings and Underdog. This is a tough one. I want to be really excited about Antonio Gibson, especially on full PPR DraftKings. I think his best role has been blocked by J.D. McKissic, who the Commanders cut back in March. But the Commanders, they haven't shown a ton of faith in Gibson anyways. They took Brian Robinson, immediately installed him as a starter last year. That was briefly derailed when Robinson got shot, but I remain concerned that the staff just isn't that high on Antonio Gibson. And we have no idea what new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy thinks of him. They also took Chris Rodriguez in the 6th round for what it's worth, a running back. So honestly, like in these spots where I don't have a great feel or a great take, I think it's fine to just be in line with market when you don't have a strong take on a guy. I'm certainly more likely to take Antonio Gibson on DraftKings. My structures there rarely take more than one running back in the first 6 to 7 rounds. So guys like Gibson going the 11th, that fits really nicely. On Underdog, I'm much more willing to go 2 running backs early or even more than 2 running backs over the first 6 to 7 rounds. So Antonio Gibson does not fit as well. We're currently about 6 spots ahead of ADP in our Underdog rankings on Gibson. On DK, we're much higher, about 25 spots ahead of ADP. Remember, if you have DraftKit Pro, you can upload our rankings directly to Underdog and DraftKings. Last riser I want to talk about is Michael Gallup. He's up 5.8 spots into the early 14th round on DraftKings. really interesting spot for Michael Gallup this year. I do think that he's talented. I also think that the routes he's been asked to run for much of his career are the low percentage, helps his team more than helps him in fantasy type of routes. But that said, there's no doubt that Michael Gallup struggled last year. It was also his first year off the ACL injury. And here's a recent quote from Michael Gallup. Quote, last year I was thinking too much. My knee was feeling sore and it was just different. Last year at this time, I couldn't walk. It's different now. I feel springy again. So just getting the knee back to 100%, to me, that makes Michael Gallup undervalued in round 14, just with that alone. I think lately we've been too high on guys in their first year off an ACL injury and probably too low on them in their second year after they presumably struggled the previous season. Also for Gallup, we know Dalton Schultz is gone and Brandon Cooks is in. I'd consider that a net negative for Gallup, but certainly not a crushing blow. And then we also have Kellen Moore gone. Brian Schottenheimer's in as the offensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy is going to be calling plays. This makes me nervous as their offense has been really good and efficient outside of the turnovers. You know, I'm pretty low on Shoddy and McCarthy in general. So look, I don't want to go too much higher on Gallup, but I'm in on him at current prices. Let's get to this week's fallers. First faller is Marquise Brown. He's down 5.1 spots on FFPC to the early ninth round, the 100th overall. This one surprises me a little bit. I know there's a lot of moving parts on Marquise Brown, aka Hollywood, aka fake Hollywood right now. The biggest moving part being Kyler Murray's health. I could see Kyler Murray playing anywhere from 0 to 12 games this year. I honestly don't think anyone really knows. I do think this team is really bad. Like, the Cardinals are bad. And so what's the point of him rushing back from an ACL to play for a 1-5 or 2-7 team? And that certainly affects Marquise Brown, there's no doubt. But even with all that said, Colt McCoy is not completely incapable. He played 3 full games last season, completed at least 24 passes in all of them, went over 218 yards in all of them. And I still think that DeAndre Hopkins is a favorite to be gone from Arizona at some point after June 1. And that leaves Marquise with a potentially massive target share projection. So at this time of year, taking talented guys with potentially massive roles in the middle rounds, like, I'm in on that. I think things will break more in favor of Marquise than against. Second follower I want to talk about is Travis Etienne. He's down 2.4 spots to the late third round on FFPC. Meanwhile, Tank Bigsby is up 6 spots into the 14th round on Underdog. I think this makes sense. Etienne and Bigsby getting closer in average draft position. Travis Etienne had an obscene role after James Robinson was dumped by the Jags last year. You know, there were games, a lot of games, he played 90%+ of the snaps. He had 3 games with 22 or more carries. I just don't think the Jaguars want to do that to Travis Etienne again. I think he's going to share the load with Tank Bigsby. And I note that they have Dearness Johnson and Jamichael Hasty as well. And look, sharing some of the work is not the end of the world for fantasy, and it's baked in to some degree, like I said, late third round. But it is a concern for me when you're both losing work, potentially losing goal line work, and your receiving profile in the NFL has been so poor. Because without receiving, I mean, Etienne really needs that elite volume to be elite himself. Last season, Etienne's first NFL season was really ugly from a receiving perspective. He ran a ton of routes, 8th most routes out of any running back. But despite that, 7.5% target share. I mean, that is pathetic. And I mean, think about 7.5%. Nick Chubb was at 6.8%. And he ran 107 fewer routes than Travis Etienne. Etienne was also 30th among 49 qualifying running backs in yards per route run. So I like Etienne as a player. I think he's an explosive runner. I don't mind passing in round 3 here. And I do like taking some Bigsby shots. But like I said, I think the Etienne role reduction is getting baked in. And if he gets to round 4, I think that's an interesting price tag on Etienne. Final fallers to talk about. Both Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill are down on Underdog about 5 spots each into that 14th, 15th round range. I think this is related to Foster Moreau signing his deal with the Saints. You guys likely remember the Island of Moreau, played him in DFS some when Darren Waller was out. Dude can play a little, there's no doubt, and he knows Derek Carr from the Raiders. Back in March, Foster Moreau was going to sign with the Saints, but during a physical, they found he actually was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. He'd be stepping away from football. Thankfully, now everything looks good, on the right track. He's getting treatment, but the Saints are optimistic he'll be able to play this fall. Obviously, playing football is secondary. Hopefully, that's the case. I think it's something to monitor, but regardless, it's not going to stop me from taking Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill in best ball. For more on Juwan Johnson, you can listen to the Silva Top 150 Rankings release show. Talked about him a bunch there. And then Taysom, I mean, he remains tight end eligible on both DraftKings and Underdog. He's going to score touchdowns. And that's more than most of the tight ends going around pick 160 can say. So I'm watching the Moreau situation. For now, I'll project him for a very small role. If that starts to change, maybe we can reconsider. But I like buying some of this falling stuff on Juwan Johnson, especially here. And maybe if Taysom Hill continues to fall as well. That is going to do it for this week's Market Monday. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you have not subscribed yet to the Establish the Run podcast, be sure you are by searching for it anywhere podcasts are found. Also, be sure you're following me on Twitter for a ton more player takes at Adam Levitan. We'll be back later this week with Silva and Amico to talk some dynasty trading, buys and sells. For producer Luke, for King Editor Jackson, for the most beautiful beast in the world, Jerry, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.